This is December 3rd, Sunday evening, 1967, Brother Z.B. Duncan, Fall Meeting Speaker. It is entitled, Prophecy.
Prophet Job, who said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and we can say, I know of whom I have served. We can say we know these things tonight, not believe. We know it by the Spirit of God, by the power of God that flows in our hearts, by His word of truth and by faith in Him. Now, if you doubt this, all you need to do is to taste of the Lord and see how good He is. I wish to talk to you for a few moments about prophecy. Prophecy. The Bible tells us in Revelations 19 and 10 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the influence of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit. We often use the word influence because a spirit is an influence, is the influence of prophecy. And so, as we consider some prophecies tonight, we'd like for you to realize that all the prophets since the beginning of time have testified of Jesus, all of the things that pertain to our Lord Jesus, and that all the law and the prophets testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. We'd also like for you to think about the great men of the Bible who had all of these prophecies concerning Christ appearing, Christ being born of the Virgin, how He would suffer and die. And yet the greatest religious men of His day, when Christ was born, didn't recognize Him. And had they studied the Scriptures, had they had understanding of the Scriptures, they would have known the Christ. And we can see that even the wise men who came from the east seeing the star seemed to have a better understanding of prophecies and of Scriptures than the greatest religious men of that day. I think perhaps the reason why sometimes people fail to understand the prophecies of God's Word is because that they're looking for God to do such great, stupendous things, to fulfill prophecies. And sometimes God does things in a small way. People were looking for a great Redeemer, a powerful Redeemer, and truly He was great, truly was powerful, but He was born in a lowly place. And He bore our sins in shame and disgrace. And men looking for the Messiah, still today people are looking for a Messiah. Many people in the earth still in darkness have failed to see this because they were looking for something higher than what God had planned. God works in underneath and brings up. Underneath are the everlasting arm. So we want to look at the small things that God uses. And we want to look at those things which are small. They become the stupendous, the great, the mighty things. The Apostle Peter was upon the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. He gave this experience to others. And you and I, no doubt, each of us have our personal experiences with Christ. I could stand here this evening and spend another hour telling you of wonderful experiences that I have had in the Lord. But this wouldn't be any proof to you. The Apostle Peter ran into this. He would tell people about his experience on the mountain. We find in 2 Peter 1:18, he said, and the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him on the mount. Now, he had this experience and he told people about it, but they didn't believe this and they weren't sure. They had no way of knowing that Peter, a mortal dying man like you and me, was telling them the truth. So Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, there's something more sure than my experiences with the Lord tonight in this world. And there's something more sure tonight than Peter's experience on the mount. Although Christians that know the Lord know by the power of God that Peter really had this experience. We know it by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, that says amen when we read it in the Scriptures and when we talk about it. But many people don't know this, but Peter said, you have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed unto, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. But holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this tonight. The prophecies of this Scripture, all of these prophets in this book, and everything that's been prophesied by the prophets of God, my brethren, they didn't come by the will of man. These things that are written are not written here by some man trying to think up some idea of something that's going to take place in the future. These things was written by mortal men like you and me, men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and moved to write what God told them to write. And so we can completely depend upon these prophecies tonight. We can depend upon the prophetic word of God, and we can have absolute confidence that these things are true. Now, we want to remember that interpretation of prophecy, there is no private interpretation of prophecy, as far as we're concerned, that we can say is absolute. And that means simply this, that we may take a prophecy and say that it means a certain thing, another man may say it means another thing, but this is not absolute, but God has one special meaning for this prophecy, and we need to consider what God has said, and we need to pry into these things. In these days, as we see the world in its present condition, I'm sure that each of us are concerned about the nation of Israel. It has been said Israel is God's time clock, or timetable for the nations. And truly, as you look at Israel tonight, each of us sitting here in this church, 1967, we ought to feel the mighty impact of what has been taking place in the last few months. Now, I want to tell you something. When there is something that's out of the ordinary that takes place in the world, you'll notice that even animals seem to sense it. It is said in the year when these in New England states, when the sun, because of some type of phenomenon in nature, began to be darkened sometime in the afternoon, that even the cows came to the barns and the chickens went to roost when it became rather dark. And animals can feel these things. And it seems that when you're having a presidential election in your nation, you can almost tell before time who's going to be elected because people can feel it. The amazing thing to me is since that the short war over in Israel has taken place, that as I have picked up editorials from various denominations, that some of the biggest denominations in the world, and almost everywhere people are talking about it. Everybody seems to realize that something tremendous, something great, something is in the making. People can feel it in their bones. I want to tell you, the Church of God can know in their heart. Amen? Isn't that right? We can know in our hearts by the word of prophecy. This is something that the Apostle Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We can listen to the word of prophecy. We don't have to take men's word, their testimonies, or experiences. We can look at the sure word of prophecy, and it shines like a light in a dark place. And we ought to let it shine in our hearts. And every boy and girl, I want to tell you young people here that are thinking about going to college, that at Oregon Bible College, I found young men, and I found, because I stayed in the boys' dormitory, I didn't find out about the young women because they was over another dormitory, but the young men, some of them were staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning. They were searching the scriptures. They're studying the prophecies of this day. They feel that we're living in a grand and glorious time. How about you church members that are living at home? How much of the midnight oil are you burning, reading and studying in God's Word to see about this grand and glorious time that we're living in, that was spoken of by the prophets of old, that God moved them to tell us a long time ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, years before Christ was born, that one glorious day these things were going to happen, and that God's people could read in the Word of God, and a light would guide their life in this present evil world, and they could see and understand that the day of the Lord was close at hand. My brethren, the Apostle Paul said, brethren, he said, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. We have given you a sermon on the signs of the times, but tonight we want to, by prophecy, show you where we're standing tonight. And perhaps you might say, well, this isn't it, Brother Duncan, but I want to tell you that it certainly favors, from all indications, that this thing of Israel is the beginning of the end. Now, let's consider Zechariah, the very last chapter, the 14th verse, the 14th chapter in the very first verse. I want you to hear this prophet of God as God has moved him to speak so that you and I can look at it and see it. He says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. This is a warning that the day of the Lord is at hand. He says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. I want you to think about that for a moment, too. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. One of the things that's going to mark the coming of the Lord, intervention from God, is that he's going to gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. But let's consider that. Now, we left out just a little bit, but we're going to go back and get that in a few moments. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken and rifled, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not go forth of the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Now let's stop and let's think for a moment. We find that there's going to come a time when the living God is going to fight against nations. And he's going to fight against nations that he's going to gather against Jerusalem to battle. And we find that also when this takes place that the Lord's feet is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. Well, you know what's going to happen when the Lord's feet stands on the Mount of Olives, don't you? When the Lord's feet stands on the Mount of Olives, the kingdom is going to be underway. And that's going to be a glorious day. Well, let's go back and let's start all over again. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I want you to think about this thought tonight. Thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Now, let's think for a moment. Will not Israel at some time or other have to have a war in order to have spoil, and what they occupy and what they take and what they capture will be the spoil, will it not? And this spoil will be divided in the midst of them because what? Because all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. Brethren, tonight we are having a stage set before us, and we see that Israel has taken the old part of the old city of Jerusalem, that they have taken spoil, they have gone out and taken it. And how will all nations be gathered against them? I say to you tonight that Jordan, Egypt, the Arab nations of this world are demanding that Israel return the old parts of the city that they have taken and all the various spoils they took in this six-day war. They're demanding. And what will happen? Why do we have the United Nations today? You remember the scripture from Isaiah 8 and 9 the other night? Associate yourselves, O you people. Give ear, O you far countries. Gird yourselves. And he said, and ye shall be broken to pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken to pieces. You notice there's two girdings. The world court was one after World War I. The United Nations after World War II. He says, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. United Nations and the nations of this world, all standing against the little nation of Israel, God's people, for a reason, for a purpose. They're going to demand that Israel divide her spoil, that which is rightfully hers to begin with, because God made promises long ago, promises you and I are well acquainted with. So God said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And when he does this, my brethren, and when the city is taken, when the houses are rifled, when the women are ravished, and when half of the city goes forth into captivity, when the residue of the people are not cut off from the city, then the Lord God is going to go forth and fight against those people, those nations, as he did in the day of battle. We could stand here for a half an hour and tell you of great battles that God fought for his people. Well, brethren, in our day and in our age, we, no doubt, because Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. We in this day, in this age, may well witness the Lord Almighty fighting for his people as he did in days of old. We're living in a grand and glorious time. It ought to thrill our hearts as we think about these things. He said, in that day, the Lord's feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. Now then, the prophet Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 23:20. He says, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, he said, ye shall consider it perfectly. I want you to consider what Jeremiah the prophet has said here. He has said that God's anger will not return until he have performed, till he have executed the thoughts of his heart. Brethren, this thing that I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to battle is the word of God. This is the thoughts of his heart, and he has decreed that this is going to be it, and this is what he's thought about. And Jeremiah says that his anger will not return until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. And he says, in the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. This means that the church and the people living in the last days of time must consider the thoughts and intents of God's heart concerning his people. We must consider it not halfway, not the two-thirds of the way, but he says consider it perfectly. My brethren, I tell you that we ought to become the greatest group of people on the earth, studying, praying, asking God for wisdom and understanding, seeking a closer walk with God, because we're living in so thrilling, chilling times. We're living in times when it's the age that was spoken of by the prophets. We're living in that grand and glorious hour, that glorious things are going to happen, and how it ought to thrill our hearts. How we ought to study and read and pray. Each night at 9:30, we meet at our church with a group of other young men to pray and to seek wisdom from God and to have a closer walk with God and to have God to give us wisdom and understanding, because in these things we want to be right in the middle of them when the Lord comes. We want to be sharing in these things. And he says, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I hope that each of you will be inspired to go forth and to do God's will and to reach out there and to become a better Christian by studying the Word of God, by running references, and by praying and asking God for wisdom and understanding concerning the hour in which we live. Also, we find Joel the prophet. God spoke through him in the third chapter and the second verse. God said, behold, in that day and at that time, he said, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will there plead with them for my people and my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. My brethren, tonight I would say to you that God has said by the intents of his heart, by the purpose of his mind, that someday he's going to gather the nations, going to bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there he's going to plead with them for his people. He said, is my heritage Israel. And he says that they've scattered these people among the nations, and isn't this true? Haven't the Gentile peoples in rulership and mistreatment of the Jews, haven't they scattered them among the nations from the days of the Roman Empire down to the days of Hitler, right in our own generation? Remember the millions that were burnt in ovens and in all of those great war crimes that took place in Germany, right in our day, scattered among the nations, and God said, parted my land. Now you know as well as I do that God gave the whole of the Holy Land to Abraham and to his descendants, the Jews. You know that just as good as anything. This is God's purpose. And I want to tell you, when the United Nations and when the nations of the earth demand that Israel give this up, the spoil, which is rightfully theirs to begin with, I tell you that God's fury is going to come up in his face. God is going to plead with the nations. My brethren, we're living in a time when God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the Gentile nations of this world. I think that each of us can feel it as we are living today. The corruptness of our governments and the money inflation of this hour proves without a doubt that God's judgment and wrath is about to fall. The atomic bomb in the hands of wicked men, nuclear energy all about us, proves it without a shadow of a doubt. And the Bible tells us, Isaiah speaking, in the 13th chapter, in the 4th verse, he said, a great noise of a multitude in the mountains as of a great people. A noise of a multitude in the mountains as of a great people, he said, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the hosts to the battle. You notice here is a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together, what would indicate something like the United Nations. And the Lord of hosts he's the one that's mustering the hosts to the battle. He said, they come from a far country. even from the end of heaven, even the Lord in the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. And then in the ninth verse of the same chapter, he said, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." I want you to think about this. The weapons of this warfare, that's where God's going to plead with people. What kind of weapons will it be? Why, they're going to come from the end of heaven. The weapons of his indignation. They're going to come from the end of heaven. You say, well, what in the world is God going to do? Is he going to send flying saucers? Is that the answer? My brethren, I want to tell you, the powers that are out here in the universe, the cosmic ray, we haven't yet reached the great potential that man is going to discover. No doubt within the next few years, with the vast knowledge increase, greater and more powerful weapons are going to come into existence. And already we can wipe out millions overnight. I want you to think about it. And we're going to go a little further than this before we close. But I want you to think about it. God is going to plead, and God now is pleading. He's beginning to plead with people. And all of these people are going to be gathered to the valley of Jehoshaphat, because he has brought again the captivity of his people, Israel. And because of this, the nations are angry. You know, our own nation, everybody thought Uncle Sam would be ready to jump down anybody's back that didn't take up for Israel. But did you notice we was involved in the Vietnam? Do you know that we're getting closer to bankruptcy? Do you notice that we may not be able to do anything about it whatsoever when the time comes? The stage is set. Things are getting ripe. It shouldn't be long. This is a little bud that you see. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree begin to sprout, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things begin to happen, know that it is nigh, even at the door. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 30, he says that when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. There is certainly going to be a time when Jerusalem is compassed about with armies. And already, this little teeny nation, about as big as a pinhead on the mouth, is over there compared with the great nations of the world. What's it going to do when great nations with atomic energy, nuclear energy, and all this power begins to demand and make demands, and all the Arab nations all around it make demands? When the whole world is going to demand that you do certain things, and we're going to divide your land, we're going to split this land right into, we're going to divide the spoil in the midst of you. My brethren, when this takes place, I want to tell you, God is going to do some pleading. God is going to reach out to the nation. And we're headed for the great time of Jacob's trouble, but the Bible says Jacob will be delivered out of it. Now, some people believe Jacob's trouble's in the past. But I want to tell you that this humble boy believes Jacob's trouble is just around the corner, and that God is going to deliver him out of it. Because the reason I say that hasn't been come to pass, I've never seen Jacob delivered out of his trouble yet. He's still in it tonight, and he's going to be in trouble until this great time of Jacob's trouble, and God is going to intervene. He's going to go forth and fight against those nations as he did in day of battle, and his feet is going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. He's going to send his son, representing him, to stand upon the Mount of Olives. And that day the Mount of Olives is going to cleave in two. It's going to be a glorious day, for peace is going to come to those that love the Lord. But his enemies certainly are going to find a hard joke. I want you to think and to pray about these things. Seek wisdom and understanding from God. Ezekiel the prophet speaking in Ezekiel, the 38th chapter and the 8th verse, spoke of a great nation of the north coming down upon the mountains of Israel. He said of this nation, he said, "After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword." Now we know that Israel is the land that's been brought back from the sword. He said it is gathered out of the nations, and gathered out of many nations, and he said it is brought forth out of the nations. It is gathered out of many people and brought forth out of the nations. Now you'll notice that the nation of Israel is brought forth out of the nations. I ask you, how was this nation of Israel that's in Israel now, the Jewish people that's there now, how were they brought forth? They were brought forth by a mandate from the United Nations. It is brought forth out of the nation. He says, "They shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and be as a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands with thee." Now we notice here that this power that's to come down on the mountains of Israel, come against the people of Israel, is to ascend, is to go up and come. Now, if you'll run other references and take time to study, which I'm not going to go into tonight, you'll find that in the closing days of time that our forces are going to go over. It's going to be air battles, and men are going to go like the eagle in the air, like clouds in the heavens. And we have that where it's right now. It's fulfilled. Right now, any nation could go down upon the mountains of Israel like a cloud to cover the land. He says in the 15th verse, "Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army." He said, "If thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days." Why was Israel made a nation by the nations of the United Nations? Why is all these things taking place right now? Why did God wait till about the same time Israel was made a nation for television? My brethren, so men around the world could see prophecy fulfilled right in front of their eyes. So that what the Apostle Paul said would be the truth, so that you could know that you wouldn't have to be in darkness, and so that they wouldn't overtake you as a thief. So you could see and understand that truly that this old world is coming to the day of judgment. Truly this old world is coming to the day when God is going to intervene in human affairs. That you could understand that truly Jesus is soon coming. So he said that there... You're going to come up as a cloud against my people of Israel, and it shall be in the latter days. And he said, "I will bring thee against my land for a reason, for a purpose." What's the reason that God is going to do this? "I will bring thee against my land that the heathen may know me." That's the Gentile. "That the heathen may know me when I am sanctified in the midst of thee, O Gog, before their eyes." Brethren, there's coming an hour when the whole world is going to realize that God isn't dead, that God is alive. He's going to manifest his power. He's going to manifest his glory. And oh, glory to those who know what's coming, and those who are prepared for it, those who are looking for it. I hope tonight you're one of those who are ready for any event to happen, and happen quickly. You say, "Well, I'm looking for it to be a much bigger thing than it is right now. I'm looking for it to be much greater than it is right now. I'm looking perhaps for China to get very big, and this northern nation not to be Russia. I'm looking for China to get real big." But you know, Jesus said, "In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Sometimes God works and fulfills prophecies in little ways. And so I'm not taking any chances. I'm simply just studying the scriptures, looking at facts, and I'm waiting for the Lord to intervene and to step in just as soon as the least thing happens. I live in an expectancy of the Lord to come at any moment, at any time, when these things begin to move. So let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's pray that God would hasten the day. And the peace of Jerusalem doesn't mean that we pray that they have peace now. It means, Lord, hasten your prophecy, the intents of your heart, and do them soon and quickly so that the peace of Jerusalem will come. Because beyond the darkest hour is the golden daybreak. Just before the breaking of the day is usually the darkest hour. Beyond the thickest cloud is usually a rainbow, and God's sun is shining. And so beyond this little time of trouble that's going to come, my brethren, just beyond is the golden day of God's eternal daybreak, and is coming to those who love the Lord, and those who are ready are going to share in these blessings. Now we would like for you to think about another prophecy, about all of these nations that fight against Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:12. He said, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all of these people who have fought against Jerusalem." He said that their flesh shall consume while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall consume out of their holes, and their tongue shall consume in their mouth. My brethren, this is almost instant destruction, consummation, instant consummation. Consummation. I want to tell you tonight that we're living in a time when man's weapons today can almost bring this to pass in our day. So we are living in grand and glorious times. Then I want to ask you, what's going to happen when God has intervened? When God has intervened, what's going to happen? I love to think about the prophecy over in Ezekiel 37:24, when he talks about something glorious and wonderful. It's going to happen beyond the time of trouble. Now, I'm not going to give you that verse of scripture right yet for just a few minutes. You can be turning to it, but I want you to think about another thought. As we read to you here tonight, we find that the power that's to come down from the north, tidings out of the north and the east are going to bother him. Many people believe the king of the north is China. Some believe it's Russia. But I want you to think, what is it that bothers Russia most tonight? It's news out of the East, the Chinese rebellion against communism. They're not running together with all the smoothness that they used to, China and Russia. And what's bothering Russia in the north? Our bases at Alaska at the North Pole. Our power there that's able by nuclear power to wipe her out. And she's afraid of these things. These are things to think about. And then there was another prophecy in Daniel. Neither shall he regard the desire of women. And how many churches does Russia? A Bible teaches that in prophecy a woman represents a church many times. How many church groups does Russia recognize? Do they consider communism today? Well, you say, Brother Duncan, are you contending that it's Russia? I'm saying that Russia is in cahoots with Egypt. The Bible in Daniel 11 teaches that this power is going to have Egypt. It's going to have these others. We find tonight that Russia is just fitting right where the prophecy fits it perfectly. We're finding that Israel has taken a spoil. We're finding the United Nations is opposed to it. They don't know what to do about it. And pressure is going to keep boiling until they're going to have to make a decision, until the whole world is going to try to divide that spoil in the midst of them. And there's going to be trouble. God's going to intervene. And then he's going to plead for his people. And he's going to plead with the world, the nations of this world, for the land that they have parted. And then he's going to fight against those nations. And he's going to let Jesus, his son, acting for his glory and his name, stand upon the Mount of Olives. And in that day, men are going to behold something glorious and wonderful. What's going to happen? Now, Ezekiel 37:24. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. This thing is going to bring in the kingdom of God. Brethren, this thing that's in the making there now, I don't know how far it will progress, to what stupendous heights, or how shortly it will progress. I only tell you tonight, as the servant of the Lord, that I can feel it. Other great people can feel it in the world, and small people can feel it, and almost the whole world can feel it, that this boiling point in the East is something that has to do with a holy war, and that this has something to do with the prophecies of God's Word, and that in this hour the church should rise to this occasion, and we should burn the midnight oil in prayer, in study, in seeking, and in finding out from God just where we're standing and just what He'd have us to do, so that the light will be shining around us, and so when this thing takes place, we'll know exactly what to do. If America would send soldiers to Jerusalem to enforce a mandate from the United Nations to divide that land, would you go? I must make up my mind whether I will stand with my country or with God. I want to tell you that I am not a citizen of any country anymore, because my citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. You say, well, have you done away with your Americanism? Well, I want to tell you, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. And when Jesus brought me, and when I accepted, I became a stranger and a pilgrim in this old world. And I'm waiting for my king to appear, that I may take up my citizenship in a never-ending kingdom with Jesus my Lord. And I hope that each of you are become citizens of that kingdom, because you let Jesus become your Lord and Savior tonight. And because you begin to read and study God's Word, you run the prophecies, and you find out, and you pray, and you ask God to lead you and direct you. Brethren, as I depart from you, I may never see you again. The next time I see you might not be, my friends, in this world, but I might see you gathered around the throne of David, sitting there with Jesus in Jerusalem. Won't it be a happy day? Won't it be a glorious time? Well, we can make it through if we'll hold to God's unchanging hand. And may God bless you is my humble prayer. And if you're here tonight without Christ, I beg of you to accept Him before we close this meeting.